how come I'm not already smoking the cigar, Fingers?
You were busy working.
That's ridiculous. Work is for suckers.
Oh, you got that right.
Suckers work. Us. We should be able to spend our days smoking cigars and our nights smoking cigars and drinking bourbon and then drinking more bourbon and smoking more cigars.
Isn't that our job?
Oh, that's right. My mistake. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. It is weird that we repeat anything. In this case, we're not repeating cigar. It's an all-new cigar. But I now get to say for 2 weeks in a row, Brazilian Araparaca wrapper.
Better you than me.
It is from Christoph, the guardrail. The oddly built Robusto in my view. This is 5 1/4 inches, Fingers Malloy, by 54, which means it's 5 1/4 inches long. That always makes Fingers Malloy laugh. And the ring gauge is a 54, the diameter of the cigar, or how thick it is around. Again, with the laughter. A Robusto is 5 inches. 5 1/4 is just a little bit of interesting play. The 54, that's pretty standard in that Robusto size and really starting to be a little bigger in the mouthfeel than I like to go. But this comes from Christoph. This comes from Glenn Case. I mean, the whole story about getting into a motorcycle accident and the guardrail protecting him. And he spent weeks in a hospital. So he made this cigar.
Did this happen recently?
This happened a few years ago. Glenn's got a story for nearly anything. Crazy good fun life. What I dig about this first, if you remember correctly, we talked about the Brickhouse Maduro last week, and that has this Araparaca wrapper. Christoph makes big smokes. The Pistoff Christoph, the Vengeance. Certainly, they make lovely smokes. The Cameroon. Things like that. The Sumatra has an interesting level of flavor to it. This not only is Dominican in the binder, but it is Dominican and Zimbabwe in the wrapper, which is super neat. The guys over at Cigar Coop, cigar-coop.com, have a lovely, lovely review of this that really gets it some good detail. What I love about so much of what Glenn does is the homage to the early days, the pigtail wrapper, the closed foot. So a pigtail cap is the cap, right? That's the end that you cut, and it looks like a little curlicue, looks like a pigtail. The objective there is to be able to just bite it off. You bite it off, and then you smoke it. Now, some people will tell you, well, that's the only way to have a cigar. The true cigar aficionados bite off the cap. No part of that is true. Sorry, Guy Fieri. I apologize, Eric Espinosa. I don't mind you doing it, but it isn't the only way to do it.
Your cigar, you do it the way you like it.
The end, Fingers Malloy. You are the Father Brady of our time.
You know what I like to do, Tony?
Nothing but sage advice.
I like to make the complex simple.
And you do. But the shaggy foot, the closed foot, I love the most. This is when you have a little more wrapper, and instead of cutting it straight when you cut the foot end of the cigar, the foot end is what you light on, you kind of do it like the pigtail, except there's a lot more of it. And so what you want to do, don't get rid of that. Light it up. Light it up. It's a wonderful kind of experience. Now you got to spend a little more time with it. Now you're getting even more of that wrapper on that first draw as you're bringing it into the cheeks. So there's a whole unique experience that takes place that you're getting more of this wrapper. You're able to bring it through. You're getting that flavor, and it kind of sets the tone for the whole cigar. But Fingers, you're not even waiting for me. I'm still lighting mine up. You're already smoking. What do you got off this bad boy?
Well, first of all,
I called it a bad boy.
Yeah, you did, because it is a bad boy. I mean, you have this in your hand. First of all, it's a tank.
It is, right?
It's beefy. A lot of heft. It feels really good in the hand. I just lit this, and right off the bat, there's a little bit of spice, a little bit of chocolate. I'm interested to see how this continues to probably change over time, but that's all I'm getting right now. But I just lit the thing, Tony.
Yeah, I think that when you're dealing with a Christoph cigar, you can expect for a multiplicity of them to be big. There's no question there that there is size, but I'm just getting started. There is an absolute wood note right off the bat, going with a bit of that spice, but that spice is not heat. That spice is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So is that more of an allspice, a baking spice, whatever that is? I don't know yet because I've just started. But you are right about the feel. And how about the look? That wrapper is absolutely gorgeous, almost into a deep black. It is not a gritty wrapper that I happen to love, but not overly oily, just the right amount. You can glide right across it, but it's not necessarily, the leaf is not necessarily smooth. everything about it is like, this is, there's just an essence of cigars here, an essence of what the leaf should be, an essence of what the old school should be, an essence of those kind of wonderful flavors that this kind of wrapper can bring, and certainly this mix of Dominican and the binders and some of those fillers can bring. I just like the idea of what I'm smoking even more than what I'm getting off it right off the bat.
Yeah, and I'm drinking this right now, or I'm smoking this right now. I've paired it with some coffee and some water. Right now,
Where's my water?
Oh, there's your water right there. The coffee is having an influence on the cigar a little bit. But so I'm trying to figure out right now if I'm getting the coffee off of the actual coffee or if there's some coffee notes off of the cigar in the first third.
And coffee is interesting because you view coffee, or most people view coffee as you know how they make it in the morning. There's cream, there's sugar, right? There's coffee. Coffee is bean. Coffee is a fruit. Do you get any berry notes? Right? Are you getting that kind of flavor? That is also coffee. Make sure you try it with black coffee. Make sure you try it with espresso. Make sure you try it with a French press. Make sure you try it all those ways to really, really get an understanding, and then pull out your notebook. What'd you eat today? What'd you drink today? We're kind of overcast here in Indianapolis, Indiana today as we record a Blend Bar cigar, blendbarcigar.com. And then break it up. First third, second third, final third in your mind's eye. And what are the flavors you're getting from each third? When you go back to the cigar a month from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, you do it again. Compare the notes, see your through lines, and that's what you got from the cigar. That's where your palate is with the smoke.
And you could probably guess that this is a great pairing with a cup of coffee. I mean, they work really well together right now. And, you know, part of it, too, is we are having some wild weather changes here in central Indiana. It's 65, 70 one day. The next day, it's 35 degrees outside. This is a comfort pairing, Tony.
Right? Is it?
Yeah. That's what it is. As far as comfort food goes, this is like a comfort pairing. It's a cigar, cup of coffee on a chilly spring day in central Indiana. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, it's a nice piece right here, the Christoff Guardrail. I'm looking forward to kind of getting into it, really understanding where it goes, and we got to get into price as well, Fingers Malloy, and I will bring that to everybody coming up. Or should I? You know what? I'll leave you with this. Is it in your humidor for $8.50 a stick? You tell us at EatDrinkSmokeShow.com. The Christoff Guardrail.
We're back from the Premium Cigar Association trade show, and it was a time. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Fingers Malloy, along with Tony Katz. Tony got to sit down and have a conversation with Michael Herklotz.
It's more like a stand. It's more like a lean. It's more like a standing lean.
A Ferry Otego.
Right.
Michael Herklotz. And shockingly, this conversation had nothing to do with how you dress on an airplane.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Wait a second. I was there. Fingers up, pretty sure it totally had to do with how I dress on an airplane.
Well, what did you guys talk about?
We talked about suits. We talked about cigars. We talked about the business. We talked about passion. We talked about all the good things, Fingers Malloy. That's what we talked about, and how much we love you.
Michael Herklotz, Ferry Otego.
This is it.
The man is legend.
I was going to say it's been a year, but it hasn't been a year. It
has not been a year.
It's been, what, 8 months?
I'm doing the Summa right now.
Smart man, me too.
Which has, you want to talk about, for everything that you've got, to bring back the Timeless line and it's Nat Sherman days, the Metropolitan, and launching Ferry Otego as you have, this seems to be the cigar that's most connected with you these days. Talk to me about the Summa.
Summa in Latin is a synthesis
of a body of work, right? That's what sumo needs. And this really was intended to, in some way, synthesize and represent what is sort of my style of blending. And you can look at it just within Ferrotego, Elegancia Generoso, and then Suma in the middle. But I think you can also look at it as kind of a through line with all the work, is this relationship of flavors with body and being able to deliver on a body that is medium to very full, all these different flavors that hopefully present an element of surprise. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at Elegancia, for example, that body is so big on flavors that are so light. You know, that's unique. On the Generoso, the you have this intense, spicy, earthy experience on a body that's creamy. And then so Suma really kind of lives in the middle. It's fudgy, it's decadent, it's got great body, it's got it stimulates some level of saliva, so your palate is balanced. So for me, Suma and Suma's core. So unlike Elegancia and Generoso, Suma is core, four sizes made throughout the year. And it really embodies not just what we are, but also hopefully signals where we're going and what's to come. It's a long answer. Sorry.
No, it's your answer, right? To hear you discuss your connection to how you've thought this through, I think is part of the story. When you talk about core collections, things that are always available from Ferrotego, that's different than what we see a lot of the one-offs and the special thing for this and the special thing for that. Is that marketing, or is that, hey, some tobaccos are available for this moment, I can create this thing? Is it more of a marketing ploy, or is it more of an opportunity taken advantage of conversation?
The one-offs?
Yeah.
I don't want to speak to other companies and their philosophies. I can speak to our company and our philosophy. I believe that when you create a blend, you are committing to preserve that experience. That's what the industry is built on.
Right.
A limited here, something special there is great. But we're building, Ferrotego is building a brand and a company. And we are not going to do that one little unique project rapid fire at a time. So we use limited editions for celebration. We use limited editions to try out new blends or to use unique tobaccos. But core is king. And we are in this meme culture that is exhausting. You know, I mean, like this crypto world, you have all these coins that go from, you know, they have this weird value, and then all of a sudden there's no value, and then you're on to the next thing. It's like, well, what are you building? They're not building anything, right? How can you have something that was worth X and is now has no liquidity at all? That's not building anything. I don't like the meme thing. I like core, blue chip, stand behind, depend on it forever. That's how we're going to build Ferrotego in retailers around the country.
But that's a value conversation. Is that you as a person, or is that the life from the early Davidoff days for you, the Nat Sherman days for you? Was that built into you from your experiences, or is that a kind of, no, this is who I am. I'm not chasing it. I'm going to deliver, and I'll take the slow, steady growth. Thank you.
Isn't that the same thing? I mean, I am what I've become over those 20 years of 9 years with Davidoff, 9 years with Nat Sherman. Learning from peers in the industry, learning what they do that I love and what they do that I don't love, right? And eventually, whatever I am at this point is a consequence of my 25 years this year. Isn't that bogger?
Right.
25 years in the industry.
How old are you?
43.
Really? You look terrible.
I do. I look awful. It's awful. But I started when I was 19, and here we are. But back to your question. It's a very deliberate choice. If we're going to invest our time and our money in this family business that's now 30 months in market, how are we going to make the greatest impact to ensure that people understand what we're doing, believe in what we're doing, and can confirm that over and over and over and over again. That is with Core. Timeless, Metropolitan, Eleganza, Generoso, Summa. Core is king.
So looking out at 2024, looking out at the business, and certainly the Premium Cigar Association show is early this year, taking place in March as opposed to in the summer. The COVID boom was nice. Created some great opportunities, created some challenges in terms of getting product and everything else. 2024's economic outlook still shows inflation and a series of other things, and people have used up whatever savings they had. Is the cigar industry getting ready for a little bit of a downturn?
I think the cigar industry already experienced its downturn, and I think we're in a nice flat place for a moment. The indications, just looking at import numbers, would suggest that we're in a pretty safe place. But if you look at what happened, it was really a perfect storm. You had a COVID boom of demand with an inability to supply because of restrictions. And then people kept buying because there was a shortage on inventory. And so there was just this incredible backlog of back orders. So now factories are ramping up to fill back orders.
Right.
And then everything shipped. So everything shipped as everyone went back to work. And now all of a sudden there was plenty of supply, but the available demand is starting to diminish because there's less time for people to enjoy the cigars that they love because they're back to work instead of working in their backyard 8 hours a day. Then gas went to $12 a gallon. Interest rates are 42 or whatever. I mean, you know, and all of a sudden now it's like,
you're close.
We have to pull back. And so there's just been this, and we're over inventoried mm-hmm. all over the United States, which caused factories to be distressed, which means we have to move volume faster in the United States. So there's been a lot of discounting, a lot of stuff happening. So this has been a very unique 6 months, 8 months, but it's nothing that our industry hasn't been through before. And there isn't a economic graph in the world that doesn't go like this. And usually when you do this bit and then come down, you're higher than you were before it spikes back up again. And that's where we are. So as a new business, I have nothing but optimism in my windshield.
People want to learn about Ferriotego. Where do they go?
Ferriotego.com. You can go to Instagram, Ferriotego, Facebook, Ferriotego, Twitter, Ferriotego Cigars. Now X.
It's Michael Herklotz right there.
Love you, bro. Oh. And Fingers. Shout out to Fingers and Sarah, too. Thank you for this.
Find everything we do on our website, eatdrinksmokeshow.com.
This guardrail from Christoph. It is smoking well, a touch uneven, but the flavor is there. But I don't know, Fingers, if that's a coffee flavor. I get your point. There's something there, and I get that wittiness, and I'm getting that little bit of spice, which I think is more of an allspice kind of thing as opposed to a heat spice. And there's even something a little bit. I don't know if that's leathery working for me, but I don't know if I get coffee. I don't know if I get coffee. What I get, I like. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. There's nothing here not to enjoy. The flavors are very, very well pronounced. They're mixing together. What is interesting is that I was expecting a much stronger feel from the cigar. I'm not getting it for all of its look, and it looks just plain old angry. This plays as a medium, Fingers.
I would agree with you there. You know, it's funny, when we were talking earlier, I couldn't figure out if it was the coffee from the cigar or if it's just the coffee that I'm drinking that's influencing my thoughts on the cigar. And I'm still there when it comes to that. I'm still getting a little bit of chocolate. That spice is kind of, it's turning away from a spice to more of a pepper. I could totally see what you're talking about as far as a wood. I'm almost getting a little bit of an almond off of this.
A nut. Oh, If I'm going to suggest that you can get something from the coffee that could be fruity, I would easily understand that you could get something from the coffee that could be nutty. Although I can't say that I'm totally getting that at the moment. I cannot say that I am.
But the fact that we're having this discussion and we're getting several things from this cigar, the construction is great. The burn has been even. It haven't really had to touch it up at all. With all that in this conversation, you couple that with the price point. What'd you say, $8 a stick?
So it really does depend. So sometimes I take a look at some online pricing and I say the box is 20. I divide, I come up with a number. If you're buying a single, sometimes it'll be a little bit more expensive than if you're buying the whole box.
Say it's $9.50 a stick.
Sure.
For me, I think it's still in my humidor.
Right?
I mean, everything that we've experienced so far and the fact that it has a few different things going on with the flavors and how it's hitting the palate and the construction and everything. And plus, as you mentioned earlier, we've both had great experiences with Christoph cigars in the past. Yeah, this is in my humidor.
So let me tell you what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
I am trying at long last, after all these years, to teach myself how to retrohale.
Oh,
I have never been able to do it. I have never been successful at doing it. So the retrohale is how you move the smoke out. Remember, you're never inhaling the smoke. You're toasting the palate. But on the exhale, you can basically close the mouth. Some people say you put your tongue to the roof of your mouth and move the smoke out your nose. And you're like, that sounds painful as bloody hell. Probably the first time, which can be said for so many things. In this case,
wow,
what you're trying to do is the nose has so many more receptors. The sensory part of it, you'll get more flavors. You get a better feel and an understanding. I've been trying. I am miserable.
Well, see, I just did it.
Did you really? Is that what you said? Wow. Was that your wow? Oh, you did it. Look at you.
And I don't do
it
often.
Your cigarette days?
Oh, what I would do for a parliament right now. I wouldn't do anything because I wouldn't want a parliament. But having said that, you kind of did that. Your mouth was a little open, though.
I look like Puff the Half Magic Dragon.
Here's my problem with it. And just like anything else, you have to practice and get better at it and get used to it. The only thing I got out of that retrohale was it burns, it burns.
Oh, it's horrible. It burns. Where's Mr. Tinky?
Anything for a Krusty the Clown. So we're smoking. We'll get in to the drinking, but it's time, Fingers Malloy, for news of the week.
I don't know if you've heard this, Tony, but apparently there's going to be a solar eclipse.
What?
It's in all the papers.
Oh my gosh. Well, I did not see it once in Reader's Digest.
So there's going to be a solar eclipse and people are absolutely going crazy about this. In the path of the eclipse, you're seeing people flying from all over to the country to experience the 10 minutes or so of darkness?
If that.
I, for one, will just wake up at 2:00 in the morning. But that's just me. I don't have to travel anywhere.
I don't need this hullabaloo.
Spending thousands of dollars to travel to be a part of the solar eclipse. Well, of course, if you are going to look up at the sun, you need special glasses during the eclipse. And authorities are warning people.
No. Don't do it.
You don't want me to warn people? You just want me to have them stare at the sun with fake eclipse glasses is what you want me to
people
do?
People really are selling fake eclipse glasses. We suck.
And authorities are warning people about this, and there are ways to tell if they're fake or not. I'm not even going to get into it because you actually need illustrations or anything. I just wanted to put the bat signal out there to warn people that there are fake eclipse glass. Here's the thing I don't understand. If you buy the legit ones, it's not like you're investing a ton of money in them. They're like $2, right? A dollar? They're not that expensive.
Where are you buying the fake ones? Is it like walking up to David Letterman going, hey, want to buy a monkey? Is that?
Exactly. A guy approaches you wearing a trench coat.
Right.
Who wants bifocals? Anybody need bifocals? I got them right here. 2 for 50 cents. So I don't know. Just be aware when you are purchasing these glasses.
The amount of work it must take to fake solar eclipse glasses. So much work.
Yeah.
The time, the effort, the these don't even have lenses. Like, it's too much.
Don't I know it? I just did a visual gag for Tony and nobody else because we're doing radio.
Oh my God.
But you're exactly right.
It's horrible.
It is horrible. And talk about not having a conscience. I'm going to sell people a product that's counterfeit, and there's a possibility that they could have permanent vision damage by using my counterfeit glasses. But I could make a couple of bucks.
What does that lawsuit look like?
If you can find the people who are responsible for making them.
I had caught wind of this story the other day. My wife actually brought it up to me. And it stuck with me. You are no longer the happy hour newsman.
I was warning people. People to have 20/20 vision.
What is it about this story that of everything we may have ever discussed, this is truly depressing? Like, this is a question of how lost we are.
Yeah.
That this is something that you would fake. This is something that you would scam people out of. If guys... get the good glasses for the eclipse. Make sure you go to a store that you know, or just go online to fingerseclipseglasses.net. fingerseclipseglasses.net. He's got all the latest styles, the selection, and it will be there in time for the eclipse. fingerseclipseglasses.net.
Great. Now I've got to buy that website.
Yeah, right away. All IPAs are terrible. Awful. They're a shame. They are what my people would call a Shonda, Fingers Malloy.
I went to school with a Shonda.
Tea, drink, smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. Beer 2 weeks in a row, because there's a very cool fundraiser going on where we record at Blend Bar Cigar in Indianapolis. Lauren Frederick joins me right now from Metazoa Brewing, Metazoa, metazoabrewing.com. They're big in Indiana. They've just started expanding, so it's kind of interesting to see a business that's new, but started in 2016, just start to expand post-COVID in a world where beer sales are going down. Lauren, you have picked a fantastic time to do it all.
We think so too.
We are drinking your Trash Panda. This is an actual name, raccoon on the label, Fingers Malloy, because nothing says I'm thirsty like the name of a beer called Trash Panda.
Yep. So this is our vanilla latte inspired coffee blonde. We've always really loved it. It's got a little bit of a cult following. There's something kind of cool about a light beer that tastes like iced coffee, basically.
Right.
So a little bit of a mind trick. But it's been really, really popular, and it's got a nice kind of roasted coffee note along with some sweetness. And the coffee is local, which is kind of fun. It's from Blue Mines Roasting.
Now, you've got a couple. You have a wide array at Metazoa. You've got the nap and the hammock. And, of course, one of the things that's very popular in Indiana, which is Puppy Slumber Party, which is the peanut butter stout, Fingers. I'll just give you that can right there.
Oh,
take that home with you.
Thank you.
Share it with the kids. Don't share it with the kids. We're going to get into the beer in a second. Just open the cans. And they're only in cans, which is like all the trend, all the rage, and has been for a few years.
Yep, it's available in draft and in cans, but we do not do any bottling.
Is it because the bottle is just too dang much money?
In small part, really, it's for the quality of the beer. So basically, beer's biggest enemy is light and, I guess, oxygen as well. So anything you can do to keep the beer in the dark makes it last longer. The quality's better. So an aluminum can blocks light better than a bottle.
Alcohol by volume on the Trash Panda?
I believe it is 5.3.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yep. Why not? Fingers well, are you getting anything on the nose? We do check the nose. We check it all.
Oh,
we're serious people here.
Good.
Smells like beer.
Fantastic. Fingers will are you ready for this?
I am, but I have a quick question.
Yeah.
You know, usually when you hear something that has kind of a coffee you know, note to it, it's usually you're talking about porters and stouts. What made you decide to do this with the blonde ale?
So it's a great question. We, for a long time, had a year-round dark beer. It was actually the precursor to Puppy Slumber Party. And then Puppy Slumber Party kind of became year-round. And we realized that during the summertime, even though it's not a very heavy beer, that the psychology of a dark beer, people didn't like it as much in the summer, but
yeah,
they still
wanted. Yeah, we think those people are terrible. That's the dream. That's the whole dream for us.
So, so we decided we would do something that was a little bit friendlier for summertime, but still gave you that kind of sweet coffee character and that nice roasty.
Well, okay. So this, I'm probably not the person to start off the review because I just got done drinking about a gallon
of coffee. Oh, I'll go in. I'm not shy.
Because I'm actually getting some fruity notes rather than coffee.
All right. First, you're 1,000% right about the fruity note.
Oh.
There is something that completely envelops the tongue almost to an... You said vanilla, vanilla latte.
Yep.
Is there a baking spice in here? Is there a...
There isn't. There is an extract that kind of gives it that little bit of vanilla sweetness. And then in addition, we steep it over coffee. So it's kind of like if you think of like
thus
tea.
Why you would get it fruity, because coffee is by nature in that way.
Yeah.
I am 100% with you, Fingers. That hits me more fruity than it does coffee. Not in a bad way. But I vanilla latte, I would make the assumption of luscious. This is rather subtle.
It is.
In there. Is that based on when you make that kind of call, talking to Lauren Frederick of Metazoa Brewing, Metazoa, M-E-T-A-Z-O-A, try and spell that. MetazoaBrewing.com. is that marketing or is that really just where your brewers have the palate?
A little bit of both. So, like I said, we were trying to kind of solve for the people that liked a slightly sweeter beer, but wanted to maybe have a few of them or have it with food and not feel like they had just eaten a meal. And then additionally, you know, that's kind of the marketing piece. And then our brewers are very focused on balance. So you will never have a Metazoa beer that has a crazy amount of bitterness that isn't balanced with malt, or a crazy amount of coffee that doesn't have something else to kind of balance
right.
it. So we really want great beer that is nicely balanced and finishes really clean.
And I don't mean to interrupt your Fingers. What is interesting here is that, like, we did a brown ale last week. And so that finish is bitter. And I happen to enjoy that bitter. There is zero bitter.
Yes.
Coming from this, the Trash Panda, which is a vanilla latte inspired blonde ale, inspired, not actually vanilla latte.
Yeah, there's a crispness to it. But I'm curious, you know, Tony brought it up at the beginning of the segment about IPAs, and we kind of want to talk to people.
Terrible.
Absolutely.
In your position. When it comes to beer
trash
trends.
Trash Panda IPA.
Yeah.
Yep.
When it comes to beer trends, is this going to come to an end soon? Because it's maddening to me. I walk into a bar and there are 20 beers on tap and 18 of them are IPAs.
Yeah, I guess I have some good news and some bad news for you probably. The good news is that the newest trend, people are actually kind of coming back to what I would call like classic beer styles. So we're seeing a lot more lagers coming back, kind of that clean, very simple, easy to drink beer. The bad news is that still, especially in Indiana, about half of the beer drinkers, especially craft beer drinkers, are looking for an IPA. So there is still that's following, and I don't think IPAs are going anywhere, but it's kind of funny. Even people that we work with will start to see them go, okay, I either want an IPA or I want a really light lager. And there's not a lot of anything in between. So those are kind of the two.
You said Indiana, but could this be said nationwide that the trend is still IPA focused?
It is IPA focused. I would say as we've expanded, we've seen, I mean, Trash Panda is quickly becoming one of our best selling beers in Michigan, probably second only to our IPA. So there are markets that are looking for something other than this hop head, crazy, you know, sticky hoppy beer.
Let's talk business.
Okay.
Don't need to know your sales, but we are watching right now, post-COVID, a decline in the craft beer industry.
Absolutely.
And it's not just a small dip.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing something craterous, and that's a word I just invented.
Congratulations.
Meant, meaning of the crater, Fingers.
Got it.
Well, I want to get to it. We might hold you over to talk about this.
That's fine.
In depth, in 30 seconds or less, is this, in your view, a temporary blip? Or is this a new market that's going to require brewers like yourselves to rethink the industry?
I would say there is definitely a temporary component. Things tend to be kind of cyclical. But what we are seeing that's different is the diversification of a drinker. So, you know, years and years ago, people had one type of beer and they were loyal to that. And that's what they drank. And they were a Miller Lite guy or a Bud Light guy. Like there was an identity component. And now there's so many options. There's RTDs, there's seltzer, there's craft beer, there's domestic beer, there's
RTD being ready to drink.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, your canned cocktails, things like that. So I think there's just a lot more options available and people are dabbling. But I do think there will always be a market for great beer that's well made. And I don't think, you know, I don't think the beer drinker is going away. So we just have to make sure that we as craft brewers are, you know, evolving and giving, you know, innovation to the customer. And
that's Lauren Frederick. It is Metazoa Brewing. I have more to ask you. Stay right there. Find everything we do at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. So let's get into the business of beer, because the business of beer has become culture. You take a look only at what happened to Bud Light with a marketing plan that was, in our view, fingers, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, ill-conceived. Would that be the best way to put it?
That's very fair to say.
That's that kind way to put that?
That's very fair to say.
I could be more aggressive on the subject.
That's very fair to say.
It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy. Find everything we do at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. And don't forget, Let's Go Bourbon and Let's Go Barbecue. Let's Go Beer has to come soon. Let's Go Bourbon, Let's Go Barbecue. Our two books available at amazon.com. Learn about bourbon. Learn how to make some great barbecue at amazon.com. Let's Go Bourbon and Let's Go BBQ. Lauren Frederick, Vice President of Metazoa Brewing, joins us right now. Metazoa, MetazoaBrewing.com. We were discussing what's going on with the industry.
Yeah.
So now I want to dig in, because you work the business side,
mm-hmm.
right? Not so much the brewing side. I Correct. Love that side. I love the art. I love the craft. Even when I'm not a fan of the beer, how someone thinks, same thing is true with bourbon. And that level of invention, that's why we love cigars, that level of invention. But in the end, one must sell their art. Right. It is one thing to toil over the canvas. You have to get the canvas sold. But the market is playing differently. And you discussed earlier the idea of the splintering of the marketplace, all of the different levels of competition. But you said that the beer drinker is not going away. For younger generations, Lauren, the beer drinker is indeed going away.
Yeah, or they never existed in the first place.
Right?
Yeah, and there definitely is. There's a lot of trends, especially with kind of that Gen Z group coming in, drinking differently. They're looking more for an experience than necessarily to pound a bunch of beers like some people our age would have, you know. And so I think
she looked directly at you, Fingers. Did you see that?
It's my first beer.
That's something that we talk about a lot internally, is you can't just give them great liquid. It has to be great liquid plus an awesome experience. We were founded to give 5% of our profits to different animal charities. So for example, our tap room is very pet friendly. We have a dog park on site. We've kind of created this Metazoa atmosphere, in addition to having great beer, because frankly, good liquid's just not enough anymore to capture, especially that newer generation.
So when I have no issue with that,
yeah,
cause-based businesses work. We do a fair amount of our charity work and in fundraising for food pantries and all sorts of things.
That's great.
But it's also seen legitimately in a world that looks at everything with a skewed eye as gimmicky. Right, you take a look. You got the panda over here, and then you got I don't even know what that's. It's a sloth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sloth right yeah. there, Fingers Malloy. Right. So that's how you do your cans, your labeling.
Yeah.
But that idea that you give 5% to animals, that's enough of a story to make people say, that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah, I think that, in addition to kind of putting our money where our mouth is, as far as the, you know, all of the art on the tap room walls was actually created by chimps at Save the Chimps, which is one of our charities. And so everything in the tap room like kind of tells part of our story of, right. you know, hey, you know, this year we're going to cross into the $300,000 donation mark. So these are, especially given what's happened over the last few years in our industry, we've really kind of stepped up to the plate and said, yeah, this is a lot of money, but this is part of why we exist. And I think when people come in and they you know, get a $5 beer, they believe that a portion of that is going directly to animals. And so we owe it to the customers to make sure that it is.
I only bring it up because we see this in cigars. We see this in bourbon. I am hypersensitive to the idea of the gimmick fingers. But just because I am doesn't mean that people view it that way. They may view it and say, that's wonderful. That's where I want to spend. We see this certainly in the world of veteran-owned all the time.
Yeah.
And I never think of that as gimmicky.
Well, off the top of my head in the 90s, there was a local brewery in Michigan. They came out with a beer called Bad Frog Beer. And on the label, it was a frog giving you the middle finger. And that was the gimmick. Unfortunately for them, the beer wasn't so good. So everybody loved it at the beginning, but you got to get more from your beer than marketing and a wisecracky name. So
yeah, and I think that's, you know, to your point earlier, I think having good liquid is, I mean, that's the price of poker now. And it used to be that, you know, if it was a fun place and the beer wasn't great, nobody really cared. But now you have to have good beer to even get in the door. And then in addition to that, the expectations of what kind of experience you're going to have when you're there, or, you know, why it's special. That's where it's really raised the bar.
Talking to Lauren Frederick. She is the vice president of Metazoa Brewing, Metazoa, MetazoaBrewing.com. We're drinking the Trash Panda. Real name. vanilla latte inspired blonde ale.
Yes.
And fingers, I'm with you on that little bit of fruity more than vanilla-y. But fine for me and good for a summer day.
It's funny. It's almost like I'm going to break this down like I do a cigar. As I'm getting into the second third of this beer, that vanilla and the coffee is starting to come out and that fruitiness is starting to subside a little bit. It's crazy. Maybe it's because I'm getting away from my coffee.
That could be a little bit of it. I also think as you have more sips and more of your taste buds are engaged and things like that, you start to get a little bit more of that complexity, which is nice.
We're talking about the business of beer. And yes, those younger generations were never beer drinkers. Anyway, in your view, right? You're younger than fingers. We're the same age. You might be a year or two older than me. What'd I say? What'd I say? What's so funny?
You got jokes.
What is it about younger drinkers that has them more towards the mocktails and things like that? And how... Now we're into a really weird play. It's one thing you believe in taking care of animals. You're putting your money where your mouth is. And I think people can respect that like they would with veterans. But now you have the goal of taking people who are not drinkers and saying, look, it tastes so good.
Right.
Everybody's doing it. Right. That's a whole weird. When they're already a drinker, they're like, no, ours is better. One thing.
Right.
This is a little bit of kind of pull them in. How does that work? With younger generations.
Yeah, I think in large part, again, it kind of comes back to that experience. But it's definitely something we've had to pivot and look at. You know, again, they're not going to come in and buy four beers. They might have one, maybe. But, you know, we have non-alcoholic offerings. Not that we brew ourselves, but we do offer that in our tap room just because there are a lot of people that are choosing. They want the fun without the drinks.
Do your conversations, when they get into how do we bring them over to this is a good way to enjoy an afternoon. How are those conversations just banging your head against the wall?
Not necessarily. And again, we're really lucky because we do have things like the dog park and we have a lot of different, you know, community partnerships and events
but that's
and things.
A specific
that we
tap
could...
room is your name.
Yes.
You're expanding into Michigan, you're expanding into Ohio, expanding into I think Illinois or Kentucky. I'm sorry.
Yep, Kentucky.
You gotta reach that larger audience where you can.
Yeah. And I think it all comes back to we're going after somebody that's going to be drinking anyway. You know, I think there are people out there that may not want beer or may not be drinking alcohol, and that's their choice. And I think there's also an angle of like health consciousness. So, you know, when we look at that, we say, OK, well, you know, people are being more health conscious and they're concerned about, you know, what they're putting in their bodies. So we, for recently, we just came out with a light lager. So it's, you know, under 100 calories and it's got a few grams of carbs and it's much more approachable if you're kind of paying attention to those sorts of things, which is unique in craft beer. I mean, most craft beer drinkers are really about the flavor and they want it to be great. And they're not so concerned about how many calories it has.
Yeah. And I think I'm one of those people. Fingers, are you concerned about the calories right now?
Oh, absolutely. It's one thing. If you look at me, you could tell I'm really concerned about empty calories.
After you're done with this, which you're just about done, are you going to do another one?
Okay. Twist my arm.
I was asking. I wasn't offering.
Oh, I thought you were offering.
Forget it.
I'll take three.
I'll offer. We got more.
Thank you. God bless you.
Lauren Frederick, it is Metazoa Brewing. Metazoa, M-E-T-A-Z-O-A. In 10 seconds or less, why Metazoa?
I think it's the perfect intersection of a solid quality liquid. You know, we won the Great American Beer Festival a few years ago. So, you know, arguably great liquid. And then with a cause. So there's kind of a feel-good component, and you feel great drinking something delicious.
Lauren Frederick, Metazoa Brewing. Appreciate it. We haven't done news once, Fingers. Oh, no, we did do news once. And you so disappointed me with the news of the week. I'm wondering how I'm going to survive. Luckily, there's Trash Panda Beer. Mm-hmm. Luckily, there is the Christoph Guardrail Cigar. And luckily, there is Eat, Drink, Smoke Nation, whom I love and adore and just want to nuzzle. Yes, I do.
And luckily, you have me.
It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy. Find it all at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Fingers, we have no time to waste. No time to lose. It's time for news of the week.
I thought we were going to go over the beer.
You want to go over the beer?
Yes, because I have noticed something about this Trash Panda
from Metazoa Brewing. This is a vanilla latte inspired blonde ale.
Yes.
Not infused, inspired.
And I'm inspired the more I drink it, Tony.
Really?
Yes. Because I got to tell you, when we first cracked this beer and we're drinking it right out of the can.
Like men.
Like we're in the garage tinkering with a transmission.
And as you know, if you've ever met me at all, you've ever heard this show for 5 minutes, if there's something Tony Katz does, it's tinkers with a transmission in a garage.
That's Tony Katz. But what I am surprised about is, you know, we talk about first, third, second, third, final third in a cigar. This is the way this beer is hitting me, because when we first started sipping it, there was like fruity note. It was crisp. But I didn't get any hint of vanilla, coffee, none of that. But as I've made my way to the final third, that vanilla and coffee, they've both picked up in a big way.
Did it say somewhere on it, shake before serving?
No, apparently it didn't, but maybe I should have. You think that's really something you should do before you open a can of beer, right? Is shake it well? Is that what you're saying?
That's what all the experts say. I read that on the internet. You know who said it on the internet? Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, there you go. And then it has to be true. But you know why? Because he was honest.
Look at you. Nice pull. An Honest Abe reference. Wow. News of the week. Hit me.
Okay. Here's the deal, Tony.
Oh, God.
Once again, I've done my best being America's happy hour anchorman to try to find good news. I go into the search engine, ask Jeeves, and I say, Jeeves, give me some good news. And my computer laughs at me. So I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I can't do the regular news of the week that we tend to do. So I'm going to give you this. Wendy's has added a new frosty flavor for spring. Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
The orange creamsicle pop frosty.
Orange creamsicle what?
Pop.
It does not say pop.
I'm just going by the description from the fine folks at People Magazine. It's the orange creamsicle frosty.
Thank you. Not pop. No one said pop.
People Magazine says the new treat is a mashup of an iconic orange creamsicle pop and a richness of a frosty.
They meant an orange creamsicle soda.
I think they mean the orange creamsicle pop. You know the little pop-ups?
Oh, the ice cream. Okay.
Okay.
I thought you meant pop.
No.
I'm really off base with this whole story, aren't I?
Yes, but here's the deal, and here's where I feel like I have failed. Eat, Drink, Smoke Nation, and you, Mr. Tony Katz, we should be sampling the orange creamsicle frosty right now. I've had one.
Really?
And it is magic. It's magic, my friend. It tastes exactly like an orange creamsicle pop. Now, if you are a fan of the vanilla frosty, I have bad news for you. Because, as you know, Tony, fast food ice cream machines, when they haven't broken down for the night, there's a limited amount of space for these ice cream machines. So they had to take one flavor of frosty away, and they aren't going to take chocolate away.
So they took the vanilla frosty away.
Yes.
To give us orange cream. You know what? It's only temporary. I approve. I approve, Wendy's. You should have checked with me first, but now that I know it, I am very okay with it.
Are you a fan of creamsicles?
Not per se, but I will try it in frosty form. I'm more than happy. I am pro frosty in every situation. Nothing would make me happier than taking an Egg McMuffin, which is the perfect food, and dunking it, yeah, dipping it, drenching it, coating it, slathering it with a frosty, whether that be chocolate or orange creamsicle dreamsicle.
I would argue with you, Tony, that the perfect breakfast sandwich is actually the steak, egg, and cheese bagel, which has been brought back for, many locations around the country did not have it. We've been lucky in central Indiana, where I'm up to four a week, the steak, egg, and cheese bagel.
You are not.
I used to be.
Used to be.
Yeah, I'm lowering the carb count a little.
Are you back on the Atkins, Fingers Malloy?
I'm lowering the carb count. I didn't want to make a big deal about it.
That's the official denoter of spring, when Fingers goes on the Atkins.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I can't wait to see you next week when it's all over.
No, it's pretty serious this
I'm
time.
I'm a great friend.
Yeah, you are.
What do you mean it's a pretty serious this time?
It's time. It's time to lose weight. I saw some of the video footage of what we did at the Premium Cigar Association trade show. And I was like, oh man, who's that fat guy that wandered onto the camera? Oh, it's me. It's me.
Oh.
Maybe I should stop stuffing every carb in my face.
Look, we were together for a few days. You didn't do that. I don't think you stuffed every carb in your face. Although, wait, hold on. Now that I think about it, forget I said anything. Forget I said anything. So now it's serious.
Yeah.
Do you want me to be like the helpful, inspirational friend? Or do you want me to shut up about it?
I figure that the only time it will ever come up is if you say, Fingers, what did you have to eat today? Other than that, I'm not talking about it. I'm not bringing. Nobody likes to hear the person that is obsessed with their diet every day. Oh, I'm on the Atkins diet. I'm on the keto diet. I'm
my
doing
life
carnivore.
Got so much better when I went gluten free. Oh my gosh, you will not believe. You see what your problem is? See that? You see your posture? It's gluten. It's too much gluten. Gluten's ruining your posture. I don't take any gluten. Look at my posture. It's absolutely perfect. Gluten, gluten, gluten. Bad, yeah. Bad, bad.
Yeah. And I've done this for 3 days, and it's changed my life. And it can change your life too.
You start with a whole head of cabbage.
Nobody needs that.
There's the cabbage diet. There's the Hollywood grapefruit diet. There's the cookie diet.
Well, wasn't it Penn Jillette? He went on a potato diet where he ate nothing but potatoes for like 6 months or something crazy like that and lost a ton of weight.
Yes, also lost all his muscle mass.
But it's a wonderful way to lose your muscle mass. Just eat potatoes nonstop. So, yeah, I'm not going to bring it up unless you ask me what I had to eat today, which, by the way, today so far, a link of kielbasa, half a New York strip, and two fried eggs.
Really?
Yeah. And some cheese.
And some cheese.
And a deviled egg.
We did have some cheese and a deviled egg. Don't ask how that ended up at our table. It just did. The Trash Panda from Metazoa Brewing may or may not be available in your area as well. We're drinking this vanilla latte inspired blonde ale. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. But this guardrail from Christoph, the Christoph guardrail with the Brazilian wrapper, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's a nice stick. It's a nice stick in that $8, $9 price point. If that's the case, you can work with this. I will tell you that as we get more into the cigar, flavor is building, right? The strength is building. Still not the full that I thought it was. I thought this was going to be a much bigger cigar. I don't know if I have coffee. I almost want to think, I don't even know if I have nut. I want to almost think I have leather going on. But it's a nice stick. It's a nice piece. You should check it out. And for Robusto, we're still going. This is going to take a while. I think I got another hour to go on a Robusto. 5 1/4 inch stick? Come now. This is Eat Drink Smoke.
Follow Eat Drink Smoke on social media, on Twitter, @GoEatDrinkSmoke, on Facebook, facebook.com/EatDrinkSmoke, and Instagram, @EatDrinkSmokePodcast.